the third chapter. To explain the salvation of God to the religious leader Nicodemus, Jesus refers to the scripture passage quoted in today's first reading. Just as those who looked up upon the bronze serpent were healed, so people will be saved when they behold Christ lifted up on the cross. The Holy Gospel according to John chapter 3, beginning with verse 14.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. "We'll grace you in peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior Jesus the Christ. I want to grab your imagination for just a little bit, and I want you to try to think of a time where you have just stood in stunned awe of God's graciousness, God's goodness, God's immenseness. Maybe it happened once upon a time when you first became a parent and a child was placed in your arms, or maybe it was when you became a grandparent or an aunt or uncle or a godparent, but this little one is placed in your hands and you get to look at them for the first time. And you see their little fingers and their little toes and their legs that are just wrapped up and tucked into themselves. And you are just overcome, overwhelmed with this incredible awe, which turns you to say thank you to God. Or maybe it has happened to you as you were out and about driving around somewhere, and you saw an incredible sunrise or sunset. Maybe you were out on the prairie and you had a great vantage point of a thunderhead coming across the prairie. Out in front of it, there were those blue streaks of rain that was coming down. Behind it, there was the golden sun, and everything just glowed in the skies, and all you could do was stop in silent awe of God's majesty, feeling so incredibly small in the midst of God's greatness. Maybe it's happened to you when you've been at a symphony where the music just enters into your being and it causes you to just well up with emotions that you can't quite explain, but in the midst of it, you realize God's goodness and you utter a word of thanks under your breath. Maybe the place that you've seen God's awe is completely different from all of those, and that's just fine. But today, I want to think with you a little bit about that, because I think that that is what is at the center of our texts this day. We are given the gift of the third chapter of John with the 16th verse, which is probably the most memorized Bible verse in all of the world. I didn't look it up on Google, but I'm sure if I did, somebody would tell me that I'm right. Whether they were right or not wouldn't matter, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And then it goes on to say, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. That is a line that should knock us off our feet, cause us to sit back in utter awe of God's grandeur and love and mercy. A centering of the gospel that says God loves this world, the entirety of the world, so much that God sent God's own Son for our sake. What an incredible gift. Beside it, we have this incredible text from the book of Numbers that I think paints a picture of the way that we as humans often are. Remember, God's chosen people had been in bondage in Egypt. They had been crying out to God for deliverance. They wanted out of the brick-making business. They were tired of being under Pharaoh's thumb. So God raised up Moses, and Moses leads the chosen people out of slavery into freedom in the promised land. And what do God's people immediately do? They begin to whine. They begin to complain. First, they whine that there's not enough food. Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? There were melons to eat. There were cucumbers. There were all sorts of flesh pots that we could gather around. And so God provides for them. First, God provided manna, and when that wasn't enough and the people cried out again, God provided them with quail. And when they were thirsty, God made sure that there was water for all of them to drink. I don't want to be too hard on the chosen people, because the truth is, too often we overlook all of the blessings that come from God. And I think we end up being just like them. Well, God has had enough. They despise the food that is set before them, it says in Numbers. God has had enough. God throws up God's arms, sends serpents into their midst. Those who are bit die. And then the people cry out to Moses, help us. I guess we were ungrateful. Help us. Moses goes to God, and God says to Moses, take some bronze, fashion a serpent, put it up on a pole, tell the people that when they get bit to look toward that bronze serpent, and they will be healed. And that's what happens. And it makes me think of our sanctuary. We, as followers of the risen Christ, are called to look up toward the cross. We have this huge cross that looms over us in the sanctuary. We are called to look at it and to notice that it is empty. Jesus no longer hangs there. The cross is empty. The tomb is empty because Jesus died and rose again, that our sins would be forgiven, that we would be given the gift of new life. Again, when you think about the empty cross, we should be knocked off our feet, left with our jaws hanging open in stunned silence before God, with just utter praise and thanksgiving for this incredible gift that's been given to us at the incredible cost of Jesus' life. The truth is that we as humans can see these utter things from time to time, these miraculous things that God has done, and we can well up with joy and thanksgiving, and in the next moment, as life gets crazy and all of this comes at us, all of the sudden, we forget. It happens to all of us. We get so used to everything around us, we forget. And we're invited to come back and praise God for all of the ways that God has blessed us. And we're not blessed because we're wonderful people. Not because we're cute or handsome, smart or fast, or anything else. The reading from Ephesians 2 tells us that we are given God's love, grace, and mercy for Jesus' sake. Not because of anything that we've done. We have nothing to brag about. All we have is the ability to drop on our knees and thank God for God's grace, for loving us unconditionally, for setting us free from sin, death, and darkness, for letting us go out and love and care for others. Sometimes we need to be grabbed, had our eyes opened again, invited to see almost for the first time the way God acts in this world with incredible love. That's the gift that you've been given. That's the gift that you get to live into. A free gift for Jesus' sake. Amen.